and welcome back to Change the Channel, our conversations about channeling and raising our vibration and shifting into a new way of being on the planet just by being curious. And so this podcast explores that curiosity, explores conversations that rise us up above or out or beyond what's happening in the mainstream so that we can ask the bigger questions that get us to bigger solutions, which is why I've brought my guest on the podcast today. She is our first guest coming onto the show. We've not had a guest before. I'm really excited to connect with her. Her name is Kyla, and I'll introduce you here in a second, but I just want to tell you a few things about how I've experienced her, and then I'll turn the call up for her to say hello. Kyla has been someone that came into my life as an incredible channel that I could feel her energy. The first time I think I saw a picture, I don't think I'd even heard her speak or had been told about her, but could feel the energy that was emitting from her image and thought, I have to know her. I have to know what's going on in her world. And later discovered some really fascinating, beautiful things, of course, about her work, what she's doing, and how unique her channeling is. And I want to share her with everyone today because, you know, one of my bigger goals is to help us understand that channeling is quite normal and that all of us can channel, but some channeled a little earlier to pave the way. And I think it's up to us to demystify what that is and share our stories so that people feel comfortable with their own intuition and their own channeling. So I'd love to welcome Kyla Clapper to the show. Welcome.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for having me on, Joy. I'm really excited.
Oh, it's so beautiful to have you here. Tell us a little bit about, let's go to the beginning, sort of-ish, I guess. When did you know you were channeling?
When did I know? I'm going to have to say that that would have been probably when I was around the age of 11. For a long, long time, I had seen symbols in air, like what everybody else's vision field is. I saw symbols that I call code. Mm-hmm. And I had spoken to my great-grandmother about it. And she helped me to understand that this was something that we didn't talk about in that time. Mm-hmm. You know, she told me someday, like, I would talk about this to people, but this was not the time. And that if I had conversation to have, it was to be had with just her. Mm. So she kept me protected in that way. And when I started to be able to hear what those symbols meant, that's when I realized I was channeling. And it wasn't a realization, oh, I'm a channel. It was a realization of this information is, it's not from me. Like, it's coming from somewhere else. I didn't actually have words for channeling until probably 3 years ago. Yeah. So I spent most of my life just knowing the information came from outside of myself, from inside of myself.
Yeah. Did you know that the information was, you know, maybe not using that words, but did you know it was talking to you? Could you sense it was trying to get that message to you fairly early?
Absolutely. It was very directive when I was small, right? It gave really clear directions when I was small. And I actually have over 200 journals that I wrote from a very small age, just channeling into them, because that's the way that it was suggested I communicate those messages for future self. And turns out they're very useful
to future self. I love that. In the beginning, I don't know when it began. I think I was born with it as well. We talked before the show about how it was always there. It started for me as animals talking to me. And I assumed it was always animals. There was always something talking to me. I was always having a conversation with something. And, you know, of course I was the precocious young girl and everybody was, you know, telling me, oh, you're just, you know, it's your imaginary friend, you know, all of those things. And it was never really taken seriously in my world, including by me. I just assumed everybody talked to animals. And that everybody had an imaginary friend and all of these things, you know, were really normal until I realized it wasn't. and it's maybe sounds a little bit similar in that I was seeing numbers and the numbers were just talking to me. They were telling me things.
Yes, it was incredible. And it increased for me, honestly, when I went through a really traumatic time between the ages of 6 and 13. It was really bad for me personally. I had some childhood sexual trauma that just really caused me to go and detach from myself.
Yeah.
However, in that space, I also found the quantum, right? Like mm-hmm. I found the black space that allowed me to explore even deeper with the code and understand further what it was. So I think for each individual person that's going to be channeling the awakening phases, if you want to call right? it that, happen through different ways. It's not always like a super fun process. And I think yeah. that's something that's not highlighted or yeah. talked about.
I think that's really a beautiful point because even, and I think for, you know, sometimes that can be scary and people want to channel and they're encouraging and bringing that in. And I, of course, encourage that in a really big way. And I know you do too, of, yeah, let's do this. The trauma, you know, opens up a part of the brain. It opens up a part of the brain that allows us to welcome in new information. It sort of creates an error code to stop doing what you were doing, stop closing yourself up, stop hiding behind your grandmother, right? Stop hiding behind these fears that we have. And you just reach a point where you just kind of break through. And I think that's really common. And even in people who are wanting to channel now, I think people who have the desire likely had trauma as well. I don't know if you experienced that with others you talk to or.
I really yeah. have. I've noticed that quite a bit. And I think that's why for so long it's been like pushed to the side because it's like, you don't want to say that, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? You don't want to say that brought an awakening, that brought something, other information into your life. And that's a really difficult conversation for some people. So I'm excited to be having it with you.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, it's interesting because there's so many parallels. You know, I had a sexual abuse experience at about five, I think maybe I was five and a half, somewhere around and then. And it continued. There was an ongoing series of things. But there's something interesting in that because you said it causes you to sort of go out into that black space, that void, that was the place I was safe from the body, right? It's that you were safe from what was happening, the trauma here. And when you go there, you're not alone. And I think exactly. that, like, how do you deny that when you're in that space?
I can't deny it. You know what I mean? Like that space is so wonderful and I'm happy to have the ability to go there at will now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like obviously the trauma, we're not advocating
right?
for the fact
no.
that trauma is the way to get there, but that space is a very, very important piece of channeling. Like it just yeah. is of connecting to the information that we are receiving in a really unbiased and unfiltered way.
Yeah. I think going and knowing that we're going to a place where these other frequencies are, these other energies, these consciousnesses, to then realize, I think as it wasn't until I was an adult and went through another traumatic experience that I realized, oh, I'm them too.
Yeah.
If I'm going there, then I must belong in that space too. Right. So it really made that connection, which is really beautiful.
I love that.
Right. Cause now I know you and I, like I would say, and, you know, when I talk about how you experience that now, but I savor that space, which sometimes I have to, you know, like I love working with clients cause it helps me not just be there by myself in that, cause it's so peaceful. I love being in that energy and writing and creating from that space. How do you experience that now? Does that show up in your work? Does that show up like where, how are you connecting
yes.
with that?
Yeah. That absolutely shows up in my work now. With the Claire Matrix and with coffee.
Yeah.
So coffee, of course, is like my main love, as you know. And in that space is where I first realized and was able to create solely with particular code. Mm. So I can isolate certain origin code is what I call it. So it's pure code without all of the taught sub-programming attached. Right?
The mythologies.
Being able to see something in that fashion allows you to create in a different way. And that's what that space is for me. Seeing coffee in that space allows me to understand the depth of that particular being and mm-hmm. the journey of that particular yeah. being. Same with businesses.
Yeah.
I can see the particular energy and that particular thing aside from what everyone else is talking at, I guess
yeah.
you could say.
So do you think there's a particular reason why it was coffee that began speaking with you? Like that's where it birthed. Like what do you think that's about?
Absolutely. It was my great grandmother. Like, she would ask me questions and prod at me, right? She would make me think. So she actually home roasted beans in her oven. Mm. And she's like, what do you see? Like, she would say that. She would ask me, what do you see? And I just looked at it. And as I looked deeper and deeper and deeper, it was almost like a meditation in itself, right? Of going to that space in itself. It was just a moment where her words and my gift aligned in a perfect way where I was like, oh my gosh, I know where that bean's from. Mm. And it was almost as if she knew I knew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What a wonderful experience to have someone in your family that can nurture you in that way.
Yeah.
Right. I think so many people don't have that. They don't have someone who's like, hey, let me hold your hand through this. Let me help you understand that the world doesn't get this, but I'm not going to stifle it for you.
Yes.
Right. Let's play with it. That's really incredible.
I was very fortunate to have her. She was an amazing woman. Mm.
So when did that transpire, or when did that like shift over to somebody's business or other spaces? When did you decide to look deeper there?
Honestly, it was just by happenstance. Like, I was just one day talking with a friend and she was like really struggling with her business. And she's like, I don't understand why this isn't working. And I guess just the question opened up a space for me to be like, well, your business like would really like to co-create in this area and you don't feel like you're not even giving it any attention, even though it's like begging you for that attention. So it just happened there. And she was like, how would you, I don't know how you knew that, but that worked perfectly. And she skyrocketed to six figures in, you know, the blink of an eye, just with something simple. And I realized that those small code adjustments and the choice adjustments to co-create with certain code can change people's lives if they're just aware.
Oh, that's so good. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I feel the same. You know, it's interesting. At first, I was a little bit nervous, and I want to kind of see how you feel about this. I was really nervous about sharing as I was channeling things. You know, I was doing other work for people, and I was doing business work and coaching, and, you know, this other background, right? But then the wisdom that would come through when I was channeling, when this information was coming through, I worried a little bit because I didn't have the evidence to back it up. So I would be a little bit nervous, like, can I trust this? You know, it took me a while. It took me a few years to go, okay, I can trust this. How was your journey with that?
I did it for myself first, right? So it was like a test. I know that that's not something
I get it.
People typically talk about. I would test the information I got for myself, co-creating with specific code and just, was this right? Oh, like, yeah. And I would type it into like a spreadsheet, like, oh, I did this one and it worked this way.
Yes.
And I would track it. And when I started doing this for people, for clients to assist them, I realized that I was going to have to be really direct with who I was working with, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't filter my channeling.
Yeah.
I give a direct message just as it is. So I also realized in that nervousness that I would have to step away from that code. Like, I would have to choose not to co-create with any form of nervous code when I was in that space, because it will alter what is being received. So I experienced it, and luckily I was able to find a way to just really work with other code instead of that.
Right. So let's talk about that a little bit, because I feel like what you're bringing up is the conversation of, well, not only discernment of knowing, you know, where to be, but really being authentic to yourself and being in that place where you have strong integrity.
Yes.
Right. So that can be a difficult journey with all the pressures from the outside world and our families. And I mean, I know you've got a family. There's some things going
on. I've got a big family, and, you know, not everybody agrees with the things that I say and do. I'm sure you're going to resonate with this. When you know, you know, and it's holding on to that code. That's the origin code you came with, right? That's the one you got to remember. And I always say that, like, there's so many other origin codes, but the one you get to remember is that integrity. It's whatever it is that is your truth. That's the one you come in remembering. And when you let go of that, you just start to notice little pieces of your life, like, unaligning with you, because you're literally not co-creating with the one code you remember.
Right. Yes. Yeah. You just lose connection to yourself. right? Integrity, I think people, you know, confuse that with being, you know, values and what the world thinks integrity is, but you're right on. I agree. So 1,000%, it's about your own internal compass. And you can't not know who you are when you look there and when you align to that, and your life actually can't not work. When you're you and when you're in that integral place, if people really got that, they'd be integral faster, you know, or in that place of integrity faster. Yeah, it just works. But that knowing sensation, I think people, I get question after question after question, like, how do you know, like, how is that? How do you land into that place? How, you know, and, you know, how would you answer that? How do you land in the place where you just know that you know?
I think that it's when you choose, you know, you've made a choice. So it's not that you know, it's that you've chosen to know.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like the code presents itself. And of course, like everybody thinks like, oh, you see code. That means you know exactly all the things that are happening and going on. I'm like, that's no. It presents with a set of code, right? A story of code. And you make a choice with what is resonating with you. Mm-hmm. If you're not feeling into the frequency of what that feels like, then you won't know. You'll just be in this place of like, ooh, is this me knowing or is this me not knowing? Take the time.
Yeah.
Take the slow down, the moment, the 20 moments, the years it takes to truly listen to the frequency. Because once you start listening, it just gets easier. It's like, oh, yep, I know that frequency. Like, yep, there it is. Got it. Got that frequency. But the one thing that people are not wanting to do is the time.
Yeah. That devotion. I love, it's really interesting because, and I think you're just right on. I think that's something we don't talk about a lot is that decision piece of it. Of, I remember what at one point I was so afraid of being wrong, right? That I had a moment, and this was, you know, many years back. I was just so afraid of being wrong, but I had to come to the decision where I didn't care, where I was okay to be wrong. And I was going to find out, and I was going to trust that feeling that was so unique, that was so clear, and I was going to trust it, and I was going to be all in, because I knew that if I was all in, then that was the only way that that energy could also be all in.
Yes. Right?
And that's when the magic happened, when I stopped caring if I was right or wrong. And then I started recognizing that it's not even about that. It's so much bigger.
Yeah, it is so much bigger. And when people want black and white, like right and wrong, it's always so funny because people that know me always know, don't go to Kyla. Right? If you want a black and white answer, because it's not going to be a thing. It's just not, because there's so much code.
Yeah.
And so much choice.
What does it feel like and look like for you? So do you actually see the code? Like, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So it's like streams. Have you ever seen like the movie, The Matrix? Think about like the streams of fabric that come down. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that, except for translucent, and they light when I'm supposed to be attracted. Nice. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and they spin and shake if there's something that wants attention, right, in somebody's code, or it's something that's been intentionally messed with in their code. They'll be like, ooh, I need some attention here or here. So it's just another way to see energy, right? Yeah. Like people see energy in different ways. And that's how I see it.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. So it's really visual for you. Do you get other sensations in your body with that? Like where, you know, all different things are happening at the same time?
Yeah, audio, like all the time. Audio comes with it, because if code's trying to speak to me, I hear it at the same time. So it's direct channeled constantly. Whenever I see a code light up, or whenever I'm choosing to work with a code, it's audible as well.
Yeah.
Something recent though, that's new, is touch.
Ooh.
I started being able to touch things and feel into the history of the item. So, and work with the code through touch. And that's definitely new. Thank you, 2020.
Right? I love that. I always tell people that you can channel, and you can pick up all of your senses. All of those senses can heighten. You can get information from all of it, but pay attention to the ones that are easiest first, right? So if you're hearing it and seeing it, go with that, develop that. And when that's developed, another is going to come in. right? Yes. It's going to get easier and easier so we can become more efficient, right? So we can answer faster and we can get more depth to the replies and the conversation. And I think it's too, like, I love that you're feeling that and having these expanded experiences, because it also, I think, creates more of a ripple of the energy that's coming through channeling. Right.
Definitely. Absolutely. It changes the experience, right? Mm-hmm. It changes the levels. I don't know another words for it, yeah. But like the level of understanding, the deeper I get. That's why I call it the Clair Matrix, right? Yeah. Like, it's because it's all
perfect.
The different,
yeah.
It's all the different Clairs that come through in step-by-step form. It's not that like we just wake up one day with all of them. I mean, I hope nobody does.
Yeah. That'd be abrupt.
Yeah, that would be very abrupt.
But I love that for those listening in, you know, I love this conversation because I think that there's lots of different ideas about what channeling is. And, you know, at least my experience has been that channeling is so much more than the words, right? It's the experience of it, right? Like being in the presence of it, being in the energy of what's happening behind the words. I don't know how else to say it, but there's something happening that's recoding us. Not only do we get to see the code, but we're also being recoded while we do that. And everybody around us is being recoded. And there's this magical, I mean, talk about Matrix. There's this magical shift that's occurring just being present in it.
Yes. And I think that that's my favorite part of the work. My favorite part of being able to help people is understanding now that when someone holds a piece of origin code and someone that is not awake in that origin code finds them, it awakens the pieces that they forgot, that they didn't get to remember coming here. And so it awakens those pieces of their code. And then they go do that for someone else. And it just is a chain effect. And I absolutely love it.
Oh, it's so sacred. It makes my heart just burst just hearing you say it that way. Yeah, because it's, you know, it always reminds me that, you know, I'm really passionate about sharing channeling and I don't ever try to prove it. I don't ever try to prove channeling is effective or works or, you know, where it's coming from or what's happening. I'll answer the question of where I think it's coming from. And I'll ask you that question. But I think the biggest gift of it is if you can just see how it impacts you, there's a gift here that is undeniable. Just being in the presence when you're open to channeling can just change your life. You don't even have to know why it happened, but your life gets better, not worse.
Yeah, completely. Right? When I fully stepped into the space, when I fully stepped into sharing out loud, right? When I found you, when I found Jen, when I found the people that had code that I didn't, right? I'd seen the code before, but I'd never allowed myself to choose to resonate with it because it was scary for me. That meant I was going public, right? That meant I was going to talk to somebody that's not my grandma and she had passed. So I needed people, right? I needed someone. And of course, the universe brought me code to hook me in with people. And when that happened, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is it, right? This is it.
Yeah. Ugh. So where do you think that's coming from? Like, what is your... What do you perceive? I get this question all the time. What are you channeling? What is that? What do you think is happening?
Transcendence is something that not a lot of people describe in the way that I'm about to.
Good.
But I believe that remembering transcendence is what we are doing. Mm. There is a highest form of self. And our brain can't always comprehend seeing self or seeing like self back to oneness. And so while we all perceive through human teachings that we are going to transcend, the fact is that oneness was transcendence. So technically, it's we just the remembering.
Yeah. We are it.
Yes. So that's what I believe. I believe that it is just the highest form of self bringing back to itself, right? Expansion back to contraction.
Yeah. I'm with you there. I love the way you described that. It's beautiful. And I think that it's hard for some people to conceptualize because like you said, the brain has a hard time with that. And for the most part, when we're having these conversations, while, you know, you and I can't not be bringing energy into that, we can't not be channeling. To have a conversation with another channel is like, I'm always careful of trying to keep it in the room because it's easy for us to go to the place where it's like, we can just say half the words, right?
Yes.
Because there's so, right, there's so much energy flowing. Yeah. And I think it's important to understand that, you know, as people are listening into this conversation now, they're feeling and awakening and remembering, and the brain is getting part of it. And the brain is just learning, in my experience, to feel safe with what's happening and that it's never going to understand.
Yeah. And I think that's my favorite part of humans, right?
Yeah.
Like, we get to choose to say, hey, brain, like, let's come as far as you can. And that's enough. Right? Like, that's so good enough. Like, we picked these bodies to have this experience in with this code, exact what we needed to experience our remembering, because the body is a choice. We get to say, hey, let's make the connection. All right, outer world, let's have the experience with the connection. And we need to really remember that as we move forward through these next few years.
Oh my, that's a whole nother conversation. Yeah, which I would love to have with you. Yes.
Ask your brain a lot of questions, guys.
Yes. Well, which brings me to such gratitude for the body, right? The body is, you know, there's been, I think Matt Kahn has talked about this beautifully in some of his conversations where he talks about the body and this higher self, this higher version of us is like, you know, we're actually the spirit guide for the body. And I just think that's a beautiful interpretation of that through the lens of, you know, keeping it as simple as possible. And
absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm so grateful that the body is open and willing to have that experience, and that the body, you know, like, it can take its time. Whatever it needs, we can be here for it, right? And support it through this.
Welcoming it to take the time encourages the growth in itself, right? Mm-hmm. It always feels better when someone asks you rather than tells you.
We're awakening right now.
Yes.
You're doing this thing.
I say that from experience, guys. Yes. Like, it's better when you are asked than told.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I feel like we could talk for hours. And so I would love to have you back on the show at another time, and we can dive deeper into some fun conversations. I so appreciate you, and I'm so grateful for you sharing this work with the world and not hesitating to just do your thing and show people that it's safe and that it's so full of love. I want to ask you if there's anything that you'd like to share. I'd love for you to share a bit about where they can find your coffee and how they can work with you. And of course, we'll put links below the podcast for anyone who wants to dive into work with you, which I highly encourage. But please share any information you'd like to share with us.
Yeah. So Flock Cup is my coffee company, and it's flockcup.com. And the coffee there isn't like every other coffee. You guys, I individually source beans to match particular experiences from my life. So when you buy a cup of coffee or a bag of coffee from me, it's an experience of drinking. It's not coffee that's made to slam back, you know, and just caffeinate yourself. It's about the experience of taking the time to drink it.
Yeah.
So if you're ready for like an up-leveled experience with coffee, flockcup.com is where you can go.
Yeah.
For that.
That's awesome. I have my next package because I just finished my pumpkin. And so I have my vanilla is next. I love it. And I would agree with everything you just said. It is sacred. And that's something I always say, if you're going to bring anything into your body, it should be a sacred experience. We don't just shove it in there like it's a trash can. Like, this is a sacred space, right? It's holding your soul. It's holding all this energy flowing through. It's so sacred. So I love what you do on so many levels. Thank you for being here.
And, thank you so much for having me. This was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, this was spectacular. Yeah. Thank you, Kyla. Thank you, everyone who's tuning in. And we'll tap into more of Kyla's work in the future, I'm sure, as well as other channels. Bring as much of this content as we can to really help you remember. I love that. Bye for now.